If you will, this morning, turn back to 2 Kings, where our text will be found in chapter 6. Our text this morning is verse 17 of 2 Kings 6. Verse 17 reads this way. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Let us pray. O Lord, I thank you for thy great grace. I thank you, Lord, that you are a present help to thy people, O Lord. That every day of our lives, you show us, Lord, our need for thee. Lord, this hour is no different. We need thee, Lord, to open our eyes. We need thee, Lord, to open our ears, and Lord, to open our souls. That thou would be pleased, if thou art pleased, to meet with us now in this hour. To allow thy food to fall from thy hand into our soul. That you would bless it, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit would instruct us in the things of thy blessed Son. Show us, Lord, his salvation. That he has wrought for his church. Lord, show us all that he has done for us. Lord, indeed, I beseech thee, open our eyes that we may see. Lord, may you open our eyes for thy glory and for thy name's sake. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to say, whoever decided to sing that last hymn we sang was definitely in the spirit of what the Lord has led me to say today. And that third verse where it says, grant that others here may see Christ expiring on the tree, risen and exalted high, so that we might never die. Send your spirit now in power and awake the dead this hour. We're in dire need of the Lord to open our eyes. And if you look at our text, Elisha, when he prayed directly to the Lord to open the eyes. You know, many times in our lives, we have those who are with us, and they'll say that to us, open your eyes and you'll see. But they can't open our eyes. We can't open our own eyes. As no matter how much somebody exhorts us to, or begs us to, or wants us to see something. The Lord must open our eyes. Desperation is a good place to be. I know it doesn't sound good. But this one that came to Elijah who saw all of it, who saw everything on the physical, he became desperate. He became fearful. That's where the child of God is brought in a reverential fear. Sometimes we're brought in a fear of circumstances because we can't see them. And we need him to open our eyes. And I want, as your pastor today, as I stand here to declare the gospel, I pray so much that the Lord opens not just your eyes, opens my eyes. I need him to preach the message to me too. Because I'm nothing but a messenger. So I'm as dependent upon him to show me the truth as you're dependent on him to show you the truth. And that's the common denominator. He must open our eyes that we may see. It's really, really easy to see the physical. It really is. God has blessed everyone in this room with eyes to see. We're not blind physically. We can physically see everything out in this world. But spiritually, not so much. There's a whole group of religious people today, and a lot of the religious world thinks that they have spiritual eyes all the time. That they can walk from one place to another and discern what's spiritual and what's not. Well, they're liars, if you're going to look into the Word. We're dependent upon the Lord to open our eyes. The Lord does tell us that he who is spiritual can see all things. But we're dependent upon the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, to not only dwell in us, but to open our eyes to see. You see the difference? We, in that nature of the old, the nature of physicality, cannot see. But the spiritual nature, Christ in us, the hope of glory, has perfect vision. So this morning, as we look at this passage, I pray earnestly. I really do. I pray the Lord opens our eyes to see the beauty in this passage today. To see Christ in this passage. Not Elijah. Not the helper. Not the armies. But to see Christ. I pray and I beg and I plead for the Lord to open our eyes in a few short minutes as we take the Lord's Supper today. That He opens our eyes to see what these elements stand for. What do they represent? How are they indicative of what Christ did on the cross? We're dependent upon Him to open our eyes to see that. We're dependent upon Him to see Christ in our lives today. We are dependent just as much as we were when we woke up and we walked in this room. We're dependent upon Him to open our eyes to worship. We can't even worship without Him. Truly, He said, without me, you can do nothing. He proves that every day in our lives, doesn't He? That we can do nothing without Him. So if you will now, let's go to our passage this morning. And let's just begin. I've kind of sectioned it off to talk to it about in sections. And the first section is 8 to 12. And I hope and pray that the Lord opens our eyes to see some things in this passage. To see His omniscience. To see how He protects His people and preserves them. To see how He reveals Himself to His ministers. So if you look at the beginning, it says, then the king of Syria, see there's a war going on. And the king of Syria warred against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants. And they drew up war plans and battles of what they would do and how they would entrap Israel. And how they would, it was strategy. They were strategizing. And they were saying, in such and such place shall be my camp. We'll set up camp over here. Then we'll attack from the north, we'll attack from the south, we'll attack. So they're going over all their plans. And the man of God, we've already been told, is Elisha. He sent unto the king of Israel. He did. He sent to the king of Israel saying, beware that you don't go to those places. So as they're in their room taking up all the strategy for this war, the man of God, who's in this city called Dothan, many miles away, is now sending message to the king of Israel, don't go over here, that's where their ambush is. Don't go over there, that's where they're planning to attack you. And Elisha here shows us the omniscience of the Lord, who always knows what's going on, who always is directing all things. So the king of Israel sent to the place, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved himself there not once, not twice, but many times. That's what that means. So that's the problem. The king of Syria is coming up with all of these plans. And as he's taken great depths to win this war and sending his armies to these places, there is no one there to fight. There's no one there for them to lay an ambush of. And he's starting to get very weary and very angry and very upset. So the heart of the king in 11 was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and he said unto them, which was a rightful deduction, there's someone as a traitor among us telling them what's going on. What else could he surmise? Because all he can see is the physical. That's it. That's all the world can see. That's all they're allowed to see. So as he sees the physical, and he sees his armies go there, and he sees there's no one there to fight, his only deduction is there's a spy in the camp. There's a traitor among us. And that's what he says in 13, or 11, I'm sorry. He says, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? which one of us in here is a traitor? And immediately one of his servants said, no, my Lord. No, my King. It's nothing like that. Because this one that's in his camp there, he knows of the man of God. He knows of the one over there who the truth is revealed to. He knows him. And he says to him, but you don't understand, King, but Elisha, the prophet that's in Israel, he telleth the king of Israel the words that you speak in thy bedchamber when you're by yourself planning these plans. He knows your very thoughts. But we know it isn't Elisha, right? We know it's not a man. We know that there's no men that can read the minds of man. We know that there's no man who can look into the sovereignty and the providence of God and predict what's going to happen one minute to the next minute. The Lord told us that. As many of them try to predict when he's coming again. You're foolish. You're frivolous. You can't. There's no way you're not going to understand. No man knows these things. And yet man rises up and says, well, we know these things. But anyway, we have this. They're all debating now, and he says to the king, no, it's this servant, it's Elisha, the prophet that's in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And the first thing we see, as I said, Lord, give us eyes to see. Lord, open our eyes. Give us the eyes of faith to see your omniscience. That you know all things. That there's nothing hid from you, from him. Now I want you to think about that for a minute and let that sink down into your soul. If the Lord gives you faith to see it, nothing you do is hidden from him. Nothing. Christ knows all things. Here's what he said in Mark 4:22. He said, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. The Lord knows everything. He knows everything that you have ever done, everything that you will do, everything that you're plotting in your mind, every thought and everything you've done. And that's what's going to take place on that day when he comes to judge the world. There's a whole sect of people on one side that he calls the goats. And he's going to judge them according to every deed and every thought and everything that they did in their body. And they will be judged according to that they did not keep the law. They did not keep it perfectly. But for those who are in Christ, they too are judged, but they're judged in Christ. They're judged because he stood in our place. He stood in our place. And he died on that cursed tree for his church. So that when that day comes and the Lord says to us, blessed are you, welcome into the kingdom of God, welcome into the place where you will dwell evermore with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're judged according to Christ's merit, not ours. That's what I've said many times. I get very, very disturbed when I speak to people or when I hear of people talking, older people as they're about to leave this earth, and all they can tell you is their merits. Well, this is what I've done. This is what I've done in my life. This is what I look to. Listen, if you don't have the merits of Christ to plead, you're lost. You're pleading his obedience. Christ perfectly obeyed for me. That as I'm a dirty sinner, he has washed me. He has stood in my place and took the wrath of all of my sins. He's my substitute. We plead his merit. We plead what he's done for us. There's no other plea we have. And that will be our plea on that day. We won't even have to say anything. He will be awarding us of the righteousness of Christ upon Christ's merit, what he's done in his perfect obedience. Oh, there won't be any roll call with your name and anything you've done. We're told that in Matthew 25. When the Lord says that to his people, you clothed me, you gave me food. Lord, when did we do these things? Because it's all of him. We prescribe glory to the God of heaven who sent his son to stand in our place. Who did everything for us. Who has performed all things. That's what David said. I cry out to the Lord Most High who has performed all things for me. That's all things. I have no merit of myself. And so I hope you see his omniscience. And I hope you see that he sees all things. In Hebrews 4:13, Paul writes, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Who is whom we have to do? It's Christ. He's our life. Everything is open and naked and open to him. He sees it all. I hope he awakens you this morning to his omniscience. And I hope you see in this passage too, how he protects his people. All the time, we have all these enemies around us. We have the prince of the power of the air. We have an enemy within us in this old nature. We have an enemy in the world and all the religion in the world that's trying to grab us away from Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. But listen to these blessed words that are said in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon. That's none, zero. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon. No weapon that is designed by man can prosper. Which means can take your soul. Lord said, don't fear the one that can hurt your body. Fear the one that can throw your body and soul into hell. That's himself. There's no weapon formed on this earth. We saw that throughout the scriptures. We see that within Job. The devil could do nothing. Satan could do nothing. In all of his power, could do nothing without getting permission. There's no weapon formed. Who's the former of those weapons? God's the sovereign God. He's caused grief. And it's for the glory of the church. It's for us to be dependent upon the Lord. It's for us to cry out to him. What's going to happen here in a few minutes? That one can't see. He can't see. He's going to be very scared. But the Lord designed this. And then he opened his eyes. That's the beauty. Formed against shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. That's what the Lord said. Their righteousness of my servants is of me. They are clothed in my righteousness, saith the Lord. That's what our merit is. That's what we plead. I hope you see that. See, when we don't, what we see is we ascribe things to ourselves, don't we? Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I figured that out. No, you didn't. You're as dumb as a log. We really are. We're dependent upon the Lord. All we can do, that's what the scripture's telling us today. We can see only physical things. That's it. We can figure out if there's a step broken, not to step on it. Because it may hurt us, or we may go falling from something. That's all we can figure out. But we still can't come to a realization that there's danger out there in the world for our souls. There's danger in the false pulpits. There's danger in the false prophets, which we've talked a lot about in 1 John. And that's why I kept warning over and over again. Cleave to Christ. That's what faith does. It just holds him just as close as it can possibly. Lord, don't leave me. Don't forsake me, Lord. And as I've said many times, he was forsaken that you and I will never be forsaken. And then the last thing I want you to see in this little passage, of course, is how he spoke to his minister. How he spoke to Elisha. And then Elisha relayed the truth. There's a picture there of how the Lord, that's what he said, through the foolishness of preaching, he has deemed to save his people. Okay, Lord, thou hast said it. Therefore, it must be pretty important to hear the truth preached. It is. It's vital. So now we come to verse 13. And he said, this is what the king of Syria said. He said, go. Now listen to this plan. Now think about this. I want you to think about the foolishness of this plan for a minute. He's already been told that that prophet knows everything that he does in his bedchamber, right? Everything he thinks about. But does that thwart man? Does that make the hardness of man go away? Absolutely not. Oh no, I'm going to rise up even. I tell you what, I'm going to get all my army together and I'm going to go put an end to him. Right? Isn't that what they've always done to Christ? Isn't that what they always try to do? To silence the church? To silence the gospel? Isn't that what man's purpose is? But listen to what he does. He said, go and spy where he is, and I may send and fetch him. And it was told him that, behold, he's in Dothan. So Elisha's in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And so I'm praying that the Lord opens our eyes this morning to see his providence. Now you see it now. We're already told that the Lord knows everything going on. He's working all things out, right? Isn't that what Romans 8:28 tells us? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It doesn't seem that way to the guy in a minute who can only see physically. It doesn't seem that way. But the one who can see spiritually sees that it's all working out. See how that goes? You can't cross over. The old nature will never see. Only the new nature can see. Only the new nature is Christ in us that he speaks to us through. Our old nature never gets better. It continually lives in unbelief and scoffing and fear. That's why we need him to mortify the deeds of the old man. We need him to put down the old nature and exalt. He must decrease the old nature, why Christ must increase. That's the secret of life. That's life in Christ. That's living and walking in Christ. Is walking in the strength of Christ as he mortifies the deadness that lives within us. And makes us alive to the life that's in us. And that's himself. And I hope you see the Lord's always in control. I hope you see that in this passage. I hope you see, you know, there's one place in the scriptures that astounds me every time I read it. I'm going to take you there in a minute. But when I think about this, and when I think about the enemies, and I think about how they're conspiring, and I think about how out there right now, there's a conspiracy going on to keep the gospel and the mouth of the gospel shut. And a conspiracy to keep the truth silenced. To put Christ down. Go with me to Acts 4. Acts 4. Now look at these words. These are words that, now, and I want you to understand, this is Peter speaking. This is starting in verse 26. Now, Peter didn't see this at one time, did he? Now listen to what he says. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. The rulers were gathered together. Of course, he's talking about the day Christ was crucified. He's talking about the events that led up to that. He's talking about all of these enemies now, the wicked ones conspiring. Listen to what he says. The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles, all of Rome, and the people of Israel and the Jews, who hate each other, by the way, and Herod and Pilate, who despise each other. For this event, they all came together in one purpose, to hate and to kill the Son of God. That's what they came to do. They were gathered together to do. But look at verse 28 and do not miss verse 28, because this is what Peter had to have his eyes open to see. For to do whatsoever thy hand, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It was the sovereignty of God who put down their differences for each other and gave them an affinity for each other to come together for this purpose. That's the Lord who's over our enemies. Why must they come together? To do the purpose of the Father. That to do to whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. He's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In the plan of salvation, God said, we're going to gather all the enemies who hate each other in the world. That would be like today, Russia and China and North Korea and the United States and the United Kingdom and all these nations getting together for one purpose. To defeat one enemy. We know that ain't going to happen. Not without God doing it. And so the Lord took care of all of those enemies and brought them together to do His purpose. Sometimes people come to the cross and they say, oh, poor Jesus. Look what He laid down His life for His friends. And listen, every time I read that account, it kills me. It utterly rips me apart to listen to what was done to my substitute. But without that, I wouldn't be sitting here today proclaiming the gospel. I'd be lost. I'd be dead in my sins. I would have no access to the Father. I would have no access to eternal life. So I praise God that He sent His Son. And I praise God that He saw in the perfect plan of salvation to bruise Him. No matter how it gets to my emotions, and no matter how it gets to me, out of the love that I have for Christ, I'm thankful. I'm thankful He laid down His life for a sinner such as I. An undeserving sinner who's sinning right now as we speak. Who continues to sin. I need the Lord to open my eyes. To see that. To live that. To understand. To comprehend that. Let's go back to our text now. In Isaiah 46:10, Isaiah writes, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Don't ever forget that. Boy, don't we question that every day. Why are things the way they are? I mean, we look at this upcoming, and I quote these words, election. We know it's not an election. The Lord's already ordained who's going to be the leader of this nation. It may not even be anybody we've ever heard of. But we know He knows. And yet we get so upset and so caught up in the world and everything, and the Lord has ordained this. The Lord will bring it to pass. And what He's pleased to do, and if it's time for judgment in this nation, it's been very ripe for judgment for a long time because it has rejected the Lord's Christ, the Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But if it's His will to have mercy, then He will have mercy as it pleases Him. And that's what we as the church of God, we cry out for. Lord, have mercy on Thy people. Lord, protect us. You know, You said no weapon formed will hurt us or harm us. But dear ones, I exhort you today to look higher than your body. Because we're not talking about our bodies. We're talking about our souls. And if you can't tell that sin has gotten a hold of your body and it's breaking down, I don't care how old you are in the room. Things that you can't do like you used to do.
That's what sin does. But the Lord has purposed that. Because our life is not here on this earth. Our life is eternal with Him.
Yes, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early. So he gets up, he gets out of his tent, he walks outside, and he looks out, and he's probably got a bucket going to get some water or something. You know, he goes out there and he looks up, and all he can see is horses and chariots and men all around him. He sees armies, he sees spears, he sees bows, he sees arrows, and all he's got is himself and this prophet who's in the tent. Oh my goodness, what's going through his mind? The same thing that goes through our mind every time we see the physical. Oh my gosh, alas Lord, what am I going to do? What are we to do? What did he say? How shall we do? How shall we get along in this? Did you hear the doctor's report? How shall we get along in this? Look at all the countries that want to blow this country off the face of the map. Lord, how can we get along in this? How can we see this? Lord, that I know how powerful that. Listen, I said this to my wife yesterday. I hate myself. I really do. I loathe who I am. I do. I loathe that horrible nature that's in me. That no matter, even in my thoughts, I want to do right. I can't do it. I hate it. Lord, who's going to save me? Who can deliver me from the body of this death? And then in faith, and in rescue, and how he comes and he preserves. That's what grace does. He can. He points me to Christ. He can. He's your answer. Don't look at yourself. You're going to perish. Don't look off of Christ. You're going to sink. Lord, I need you to open my eyes. Because I am going to see the wind. I am going to see the boisterous water. I'm going to see the disease that's in my body. I'm going to see the enemy, the sin that's in me and how it's engulfed me. I'm going to see that there's no hope. Lord, I need you to show me there's hope in Christ. And hope only in Christ. And none in myself. And then we have 16. Here comes Elisha. He comes, he's running. Alas, you just hear him. He's just full of fear. He's full of anxiety. Oh my goodness, you got to see this. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter to Elisha because he saw Christ as the captain of the host. He saw Christ as the leader of his army. He saw the tribe. Listen to what he said. Fear not, for they that be with us. They that be with us. You know what that is? As soon as I read that, I said, well, that's my triune God. They, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's all I need. I need the Son. I need the Holy Spirit to reveal to me the Son's work in my life and that the Father elected me. And He put me in His Son. And that's what the Holy Spirit will testify to me. That's what I need. And if He's for me, who cares what's out there? Who cares what's out there? It doesn't matter. That's what he tells them. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him. But the poor guy can only see the physical. He can only see the thousands upon thousands that are sitting there ready to kill him. All he can do is see the enemy. And then we come to our text this morning. Lord, and Elisha as a mediator, we pray to the Son. He is our intercessor. He is our high priest that presents our prayers to the Father. He is our mercy seat that we run to. That's the picture Elisha has before. He said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. There's nowhere else for you and I to go.
He has the words of eternal life. He is the answer to the trial. Open our eyes, Lord, to see Your sovereign grace and Your love for us, Your preserving grace. Lord, open our eyes that we may see that in this passage, that we may see it in our text this morning. I pray Thee, Lord, open His eyes. And I pray the Lord to open Your eyes. And I pray the Lord to open my eyes, that I may see Him reigning. He saw what He could not see before. I want you to understand that in the bare naked truth of it. He saw what He could not see before. That's what faith does. That's what faith is. By faith, we're enabled to see beyond the trials, beyond the circumstances, beyond the woe is me. Faith takes us to Christ. Faith takes us to His victory. Faith takes us to His accomplished victory on the cross. Faith takes us to the open tomb. Faith takes us to Christ ascending into heaven. Faith takes us to see Him reigning on the right side, on the right side of the Father. Faith takes us to see that He's King, is our prophet, priest, and King. Faith takes us there. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're never going to please Him in yourself or religion. It's only in Christ and His faith. That's what Paul said. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't live by my own faith. If I do, I'm going to die and I'm going to perish. Your faith only can get you to the trial. That's the problem. Then when it gets hard and the wind beats against the house will fall, and great will be the fall of it. But not on the house that's built on Christ and His faith. Because no weapon formed can come up against Him. That's what He's telling us today. That's what the prophet's praying for. Lord, open his eyes that he may see what he's never seen before. That's my prayer for you. Lord, open your eyes today. You see it like you've never seen it, like fresh anointing. You see Christ today like you've never seen Him before. And you see Him tomorrow like you've never seen Him today. That's growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's growing up into Him. That's growing in Christ. And we're dependent. That's why I said dependency is a good place to be. Desperation, Lord, I need You. Open my eyes, Lord. And dear ones, we do. Romans 8 tells us we have, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us because we don't know what to pray for. That's how hardened we are. We think our eyes are opened all the time. Oh, I know. I've learned this my whole life. I've been to church. I've done all these things. Lord, open my eyes, because that's death. It's death to be in religion. It's life to be in Christ. That's the difference. And there's a huge difference. And there's a great gulf fixed between the two. Oh, Lord, open our eyes. Turn with me. Last place we'll go. 1 Corinthians 2. I can't say it any better in words here. 1 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Did you catch all that? None of that has ever entered into your heart, into your eyes, into your head. Nothing. Nothing. Of God. It can't enter into, listen to this, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. He establishes first and foremost, Paul establishes in his letter, the dependency we have. It cannot enter into you without Him. That's what he's telling. Here's your dependency. Then he's going to explain it. But God has revealed them, those things, the things of God, unto us, the church, by what? His Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Yea, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's how we enter into His presence. That's how we how Christ is revealed to us. The Holy Spirit must do it. Now listen, he said, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Well, that's how man knows each other. Well, and don't you get that? And we're that way too. We judge people by the way we judge things. So if someone is being deceitful in something, we're judging them based on the deceit we've done to others at times, or we've been deceived. Men can look at men and judge one another that way. That's why we have judges. That's why we have juries. That's why, because men of peers judge men. That's what they do. But the Lord says, even so, the things of God, no man knows. None. Zero. That includes the one standing up here. I know nothing of these pages unless he reveals it. But the Spirit of God. No, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. That's the first thing. You could sit there and that world there is translated age. Not the spirit of the times. If that's what you have, if that's what you're hearing, if that's the message that you've been told, what's going on in the times, you're lost. You're sitting under a false message. You're hearing the false. That's not from God. The Lord spoke in these days. He spoke by one thing and he spoke through one thing. And that's Christ. He spoke through his Son. He's speaking through his Son. What do you think he's speaking? He's speaking his Son. It's a different language. And it's a language only the church knows. And now he's going to tell us how. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. You know what man's wisdom is? It's all that you've accumulated in your life up to this point. It's how you were brought up. It's how you were raised in a church. It's the religion you've picked up. It's the ceremonies you've picked up. It's the heritage you've picked up. It's traditions you've picked up. That's the spirit of the world. That's how man teaches man. We've all learned things from our parents. We've all learned ungodly things from our parents. No, that's not. And if that's what you have, what he says, you have the spirit of the world. But the Lord doesn't speak to us through those things. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't bring your past into what Christ is revealing to you now in your life. You can't say, well, this is where I was and this is what I learned. But that's garbage. Because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So all things are old and they're passed away. And the newness of Christ is what he brings forth, is to look to Christ. Look to Christ. And you're not looking backwards. You're looking to Christ. You're looking to his finished work on the cross. That's what he's telling us here. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Not spiritual things with physical things. But the natural man, and that means the natural man in us too, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That tells us that old nature will never jump over to the new nature. He'll never see what Christ in us sees. And that's why we need the Lord to put him down. Put him down. Lord, crucify him today. I am crucified with Christ. And I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. That's what he reveals to us. It's all of him. That's why I've said many times, a child of God's communication is all of Christ. He can't speak enough of his Lord and what his Lord has done because he's done everything for him. That's why Paul kept saying, yet not I, yet not I, yet not I. It's not me. Point to Christ. The natural man doesn't receive that. Neither can he know because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, judges all things. That's why I said, the error in this is taking this verse out and says, well, I'm spiritual because God gave me the new birth. Therefore, I can judge all things. Now, maybe you don't see error in that. Because when you say that, you're less dependent. See, I'm as dependent on the Lord who gave me the new birth whenever that was. I'm just as dependent today as I was then. I was dead in sins and trespasses then. He made me alive. Well, guess what? This old nature in me, still dead. Still I got a warfare. So I need Him. I need Him today to waken me and to give me eyes to see. That's faith. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Judged of no man. And when you get those judgments from man, just leave them where they are. Right in hell where they came from. Just leave them there. They don't affect you. God don't see them. Judge of man means nothing to the children of God. It's he and he only. As David said, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned. But you sinned against Uriah. You sinned against Bathsheba. No. It sins against an almighty God. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He shall instruct him? Who can instruct the Lord? And then I love this verse. But we have the mind of Christ. Well, there's times I don't feel like I have the mind of Christ. Well, that's that old fallen nature. And it definitely doesn't. It's not the mind of Christ. It's the mind of this world. It's the mind of death and it's the mind of hell. Lord, give me, open my eyes that I may see the mind of Christ. Let's go back to our text. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 15 and 16, He said, for this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. He just said, that's the world. These parables, what I have for you, is not for them. But then he says this, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. That's it. The world, the religious world, can't see Christ. Only His church can see. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Then, of course, I said many times, we need His faith. What is His faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's my Lord. The evidence of things not seen. Well, we don't see Him. We're not face to face. We didn't follow Him around like the disciples did. But we see Him by faith. We see all that He's done on the cross by faith. We look back to what Christ has done and look forward to living in Christ to what He will do. That's what faith does. It lays hold of everything Christ has done. We need that faith to see Him, and we need it to see His Word. He said in Luke 4:18, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Lord, open our eyes that we may see. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. All of that, the Lord said, I came to do that. I came. I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. They must all be taught of me. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to give deliverance to the captives. I came to recover sight from the blind. I came to set them at liberty. Open our eyes, Lord, to see the sufficiency of You. And keep us, Lord, there that we may depend upon Thee for all in our life. Open our eyes to see that He's ever with us. Just like He was with them. You know, the Lord said that in Matthew 28:20. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Even to the end of the age, whichever way you want to look at it, He's there. And now we have one more section to go over. And I hope the Lord opens our eyes to see the work of grace in our souls and in our lives. Because this is a testimony of His grace. It's a testimony of how He delivers us. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, so here comes the enemy. It's coming now. Now notice, we're not going to hear any more. We're not going to hear any more of those chariots. Those chariots of fire. The mountain was full of horses and chariots round of fire round about Elisha. We won't hear any more of them. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people. Smite all of these enemies around me. Smite them with blindness. I pray thee with blindness. See, it's funny. The one guy comes out and he looks at all the armies and all he can see is the physical. So Elisha prays that he takes even the physical away from the enemy. Take that physical blindness away from them. Take what they depend on away from them. Take what their crutch is away from them. What's your crutch today? What do you depend on? And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way. So they have no idea where they're going now. They're all smote with blindness. He says, neither is this the city. Follow me. Just follow me and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. Because they all were coming after Elisha. So Elisha raises up. With his voice, he tells them, just follow me. And they all follow him. And he led them straight to Samaria. He led them right to the king of Israel. Now listen. And it came to pass when they were come into Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men now, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Now, how do you think they felt? All of their weapons are taken away from them. Everything they had that they depended on, they've lost now, because now they're surrounded. Now they're in enemy lines. So they think. Right? Isn't that how the Lord does us? He takes us of all the things that we depend on. That's what grace does. It strips us of everything that we see, everything that we depend on. And then the Lord shows us, here's what you need to see. What is it that you're going to need to see? Well, these guys are going to see grace is what they're going to see. But there's another culprit in there. We're going to see that here in a minute. But here it is in 21. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, because he doesn't know. He's like, my goodness, you just delivered this entire enemy into my hands to do whatever. Should I kill him? Should we go ahead and kill this enemy? Should we go ahead and smite them? What does that sound like to you? I'll tell you what it is. That's the law. That's the law. That's the have to, the must to. Oh, I better do this for God. I better be good. I better do this. But see, that's what the law can't bring you to salvation. It can't. It's got nothing but death in it because you can't keep the law. It's holy and it's just. It's from the mouth of God. Do this and live. Well, our father Adam proved that we couldn't do it. And he was in the best of places. You and I can admit we don't live in the best of places today. We're surrounded by enemies. We're surrounded by sin all around us. And we're surrounded by our own sin. Who's sufficient for these things? Christ. Christ. And so here we have. He's like, well, what do I do? Do I smite him? Is that what the Lord does? Is that? And there's people who preach that. I know them. Believe me, they're close to me. I see them every day. They preach law and grace is the same thing. You're not going to hear that from this pulpit because they're not. Grace saves to the uttermost. The law condemns. There's no mercy in the law. You see it here. Let me kill them. The just thing to do here is kill them. If they want to kill us, let's kill them. An eye for an eye. Let's kill them. And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Who speaks for you? Well, I hope Christ does. Because see, the sword of justice, when it comes, the sword of justice can't smite you if you're in Christ. Don't smite them. Would you smite those who've taken captive with thy sword and thy bow? What does he tell them to do? Set bread and water before them. Well, Isn't that what I'm doing today? Isn't that what we are? We're enemies to God. And then He brings us to His feet. And what does He give us? The bread and the water. Christ is that bread that came down from heaven. Christ is the manna that He gave in the wilderness. Christ is the water that proceeded from the rock. Christ is the living water. Elisha points them to Christ. Give them bread and water, spiritually speaking now. That's what I'm saying. Everything in these passages, I asked the Lord, Lord, let us see You today. Not Elisha, not the king of Israel, not the king of Syria, and not all these soldiers. What have You done, Christ? What have You done for Your people? Well, I fulfilled the entire law so that you can't be condemned by it. And I've done it perfectly. I've been perfectly obedient and satisfied the law. Check mark. I have died for you in your place so that you are never under condemnation again. Check mark. I've taken all of your sins away. I've given you the bread and water of life. Now live. Check mark. He's done it all. He's done it all. That's the message of grace. That's what's being shown us here. He answered and He said, "You set water and bread before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And you and I, when we feed upon Christ, we go to our master. First the master that is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then our master who is the Father, who sent the Son to die for His church and stand in our place. And then He feeds us. He gives it. That's what we need every day. Lord, open our eyes to see the bread and the water. He makes provision for us every day. Every day. And it's never outside of Himself. It's always Himself. He is the bread and the water. And he prepared great provision for them. Great provision. Isn't that what grace is? More abounding. He giveth more grace. And where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, He sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. What is that called? Peace. There's peace when we see Christ. There's peace when the Lord opens our eyes. And now, as we go to the Lord's table, as I said, I pray the Lord opens our eyes to partake.